in verse 19. I want to preach to somebody today that you are living in an emotional, spiritual, mental turmoil. Where am I in all of the scheme of God's creation? Where am I? Where do I fit in? The enemy is out there attacking, and he's out there lying, and he's out there to destroy our souls. But God has a couple five words for you today. Hallelujah. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19, "Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." And I want to preach for a few moments today. I'll try to be as quick as possible so that we can move on in our functions and enjoy our families and all of that. But before we go, I want to remind you about five words that we can never let ourselves forget, that we can never allow them to be diluted or diminished in the power that they have. There is power in words. Everybody say that. There is power in words. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." That's a lot of power right there. You can bring life, or you can bring death. Proverbs 12:18, "There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." There is power, and you can say things and destroy somebody's life. And you can say things and you can heal a broken heart and bring people into a place where they are completely made new. James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." Hallelujah. Words are powerful. They can rally demoralized troops. They can set the course of nations and empower social reforms. You might recognize these words from the United States Constitution. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Words are powerful. I have 200, over 200 years later, hallelujah, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those words still carry weight in the whole entire planet called Earth. I have yet begun to fight the apocryphal accounts of what John Paul Jones replied to the Royal Navy Captain Richard Pearson while their warships were tethered together in a death rock, a fiery grip off the English coast during the Revolutionary War. And as somebody was wondering what was happening, who was in charge and how the battle was going, and one of the quartermasters on John Jones's ship, he said, "I didn't see him anywhere. I thought he was dead. I thought it was time to give in." And so he started calling quarters. And so the captain on the English ship, Richard Pearson, heard it. And he started hollering back, "Do you give quarter? Do you give quarter? Do you give quarter?" And John Paul Jones heard them words. He didn't know who was running their mouth. Hallelujah. But he went up there and he said, and this is an apocryphal account, "I have yet begun to fight." His ship was sinking. Only thing hardly holding it up was that he was hanging on fellowship. 44 guns against 40, and they were nose to nose, cannon to cannon, blowing cannons apart, shredding masks. The decks were slippery with blood, but when the dust settled and the fires were put out, and his ship had sunk to the bottom of the English Channel, John Paul Jones was standing on the English captain's ship, and he was in charge of it and ruled the day of victory. And he said, and he stirred his troops with these words, "I have yet begun to fight." Hallelujah. Remember the Alamo. This was the rallying cry of Texans when they were struggling for independence from Mexico. It would become a rally cry in the war with Mexico. And Winston Churchill's famous speech when he became Prime Minister of England and in the height of the World War II, he said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." Words are powerful. They can change the world. Martin Luther King Jr., in his famous civil rights speech, you all know him. What did he say? "I have a dream." Words are powerful, and it sparked a civil rights movement that changed even the streets. Amen. There's still a struggle going on today, but because one man, hallelujah, used four words, he was able to reverse hundreds of years of cultural segregation and persecution of the Negro. Hallelujah. And he went on and he said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, hallelujah, but by the content of their character." Words are powerful. They become mottos that bring out the best in us. And they become phrases of defeat that can bring out the worst. My personal motto in life is this: if at first you don't succeed, give up. It's my motto. And it represents my sarcasm. It represents my free-thinking mind. It represents my little bit of a smirky, tongue-in-cheek way of seeing the world. And when you hear me say, if at first you don't succeed, just give up, you know that Pastor Rob is getting ready to grab a root and grab. He's getting ready to go out and get a bigger tool. He's getting ready to make his mind up that no matter who it harrows, he's going to do it just to show people that he can. It's a sarcastic comment. It may be a little sound, a little sarcastic and defeatist to you, but to me it means, just let me try again. I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to do it again. It doesn't have to be your motto, but it's mine. They say in our society, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. On our money in the USA, it says, "In God we trust." Some people say life goes on. Hang in there. Insanity, they say, is doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. We hear that. Some people, their motto is, "I'm not smart enough." Some people's motto is, "No one really cares." Other people's motto is, "That will never happen." And other people's motto is, "What's the use?" Hallelujah. I want to tell you something today. Words are powerful. And there are five words that I want to focus on in today's message, and they are so powerful. They are like a truth bomb. Everybody say, truth bomb. Every time these five words are spoken, they have the power to bring victory to any struggle that we face. It doesn't matter if our struggle is internal, in our hearts and minds, or whether our struggle is with the external forces. These five words have the power to bring down any enemy and set any captive free. Makes you ask the question, why five words? Hallelujah. Why? Five is an important number in the Bible. It represents grace and favor. It represents balance. And we were made with five toes, five toes on each foot and five fingers on each hand. Somebody say hallelujah. God made us with five senses. And when you read through the Bible, the number 5 is integral to many things associated with grace and blessing and salvation. When Joseph ate with his brothers, he gave his youngest brother Benjamin 5 times more food than everybody else. And when he sent them on their way, he gave them 5 changes of clothes. It's a cultural representative of blessing and favor. There are 10 commandments in the Bible, 5 relating to our relationship with God, and 5 relating to our relationship with man. There are 5 types of sacrifices in the law of Moses. And the number 5 figures prominently in the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. When David went out to fight Goliath, he collected smooth stone.
That's right.
And the list just goes on and on. Why 5 words? I don't believe when the Apostle Paul said that I had rather speak 5 words to instruct others than to speak 1,000, 10,000 words in tongues, that he just pulled those numbers out of the air. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Amen? He was trained in the school by Gamaliel himself. He was a very powerful man in the Word. And when it pinned the number of words that would need to be put together that could change the world, he picked the number 5. Hallelujah. Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and fed 5,000 people. He told the parable, one man received 5 talents. There was another parable. There were 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins, and a woman at the well had 5 husbands, and the list goes on and on and on. And the Greek word for 5 in the New Testament is pente. What does that stand for? Hallelujah, I don't know. Maybe y'all ought to go down the road and check out the Baptist church. If you don't know what pente is, there ain't much hope for you surviving in a Pentecostal church, because that's the first 5 letters of the name of this church. Pentecost is 50. Pente is 5. 5 is integral to the gracious outpouring of the Holy Spirit of the living Christ. Hallelujah. Why 5 words? We have come in this life to believe all sorts of lies and accusations. The world lies to us. Our parents don't know any better. They lie to us. Preachers and teachers of the Bible don't know any better, and they are complicit in these sorts of things. And we come to understand and believe things that are not true. We come to understand and believe things that are just lies and accusations, but we come to accept them as though they were true. They leave you discouraged. They leave you defeated. And they leave you embroiled in a civil war in your soul. And the only weapon that can pull down those strongholds is a truth bomb from the Word of God. Words are powerful. Can you imagine the individual who has been falsely accused standing before the court, and the foreman of the jury reads the verdict, not guilty? Can you imagine the power of those 2 words and the relief upon that individual's mind? Can you imagine standing before the judgment seat and they read the words, guilty as charged? Can you imagine the darkness that falls down over you, realizing the price and your life going out the window? Words are powerful. And I want to talk to you about 5 words today. Paul said it's better to speak 5 words in order to instruct others than to speak 10,000 words in a tongue. And it's not that Paul was afraid of words, because he wrote many books in the New Testament, and some of them contain diverse and complex spiritual ideas. But Paul understood that if those words were nothing more than persuasive words of wisdom, then they would only make people's problems and the problem of sin worse and worse. And Paul understood what many of us have come to understand as well, that some of the most liberating truths spoken by God are simple statements, are brief phrases. Amen. That when God speaks them, sometimes, and to anybody else, it would seem trite. To anybody else, it would be like 10 little, 2 little words. If it is to be, it is up to me. Does it? They're not even. That's not even intellectual. It's just 2-letter words. Is all it is. But sometimes it's the simple phrases and the simple truths of how God encapsulates them and He plants them in our soul that dramatically shifts and changes what we believe and the way we see the world. And in a moment of explosive truth, in just 5 words, God can bring down the strongholds, pull them down, the strongholds of darkness, and light shines through your soul.
Amen.
5 words. I'm glad it's not supposed to rain today. The first word that I want to mention today is the word God. Everybody say God.
God.
And I'm hurrying along. In the beginning, God created. Everybody say God.
God.
And God said, let there be light. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, if we could only hear what God is saying to our souls today. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. If we could hear what God is saying in our souls. He's the same God that said to Father Abraham, He is my friend. Shouldn't I tell Him what I'm about to do? He's the same one that spoke to Moses and said, I am who I am. God is not so far off, impersonal, implacable, and dispassionate deity. The Bible said God has every hair on our heads numbered. God knows every sparrow, which is one of the smallest birds that fly. God knows every sparrow that falls out of the sky. How much more? Jesus said 5 sparrows are sold for a farthing. There's that 5 again. How much more valuable are you than them? God carefully constructed every law of nature. Shape, the color, the smell of every flower, every plant, every beast, every fish. He created us humans in detail beyond our ability to even scientifically fathom. And today God is speaking truth, hope, and light into our hearts. And our job is to open up our ears, open up the door of our souls, and say, God, speak your truth in me. God cares about you. He can't preach in the soup kitchen the other day about Philip the evangelist being sent out into a desert road out towards Gaza. The Bible said God sent him out there to baptize one man. He wasn't even a Jew. Sent him out into the desert. Told him to leave the revival and go out into the desert. And I told the soup kitchen people, I said, let me tell you something. God cares about you.
That's right. That's right.
Because he sent Philip out of the middle of nowhere to save one man.
Amen.
That tells you how much God cares about us.
Yeah.
Somebody say God.
God.
Sometimes the only thing you need to say when you feel, we talked about it today, sometimes when you're in the corner and you're about to get into a wreck, people say, all I had time to say was Jesus. And baby, when you say Jesus, you're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many times, oh, I just feel it. Hallelujah. You can say God. And the second word that I want to mention today out of these five is the word so. So is often used by us in a questioning manner. And we say so, or we say so what? Who cares? What does this have to do with me? This second word is an adverb that gives us an indication of how or in what way God went about doing something. We might say of somebody, he's so serious, or she's so nice. The word so is powerful. In Luke 17, 26, Jesus says, just as it was in the days of Noah, everybody, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. The first word is what? God. The second word is what? So. And the third word, and you're going to get clued in here, we're going to be asking for vows and everything else, is the word loved. Now we see this dynamite pact, five word phrase is starting to take shape. God so loved. And this is no ordinary love. It is an altruistic, selfless love. And God's not standing over a crystal ball saying, who's the fairest of them all? He's not standing in a crystal gilt gold-edged mirror, hugging himself and basking in his own grandeur. God so loved. That word means what God chooses or what God pleases. Hallelujah. What God does and what he chooses to do on our behalf. God so loved. The fourth word is the. And this fourth word is crucial because it will get us to the point and the purpose. It will get us to the pivotal object. What is God doing with all this love? Is it this or that or the other? What difference does God's love make? What does it have to do with me? Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The is a powerful word. When it combined together with the other, God so loved the. We are about to release a truth bomb of power that will set you free from years of self-deprecation and defeat. That will set you free from years, amen, of self-loathing and hating yourself. How are you going to love God if you don't love yourself? How are you going to love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? You've got to understand something today. Amen. There is power in God. There is power in His Word. And if somehow we can, the Bible didn't say when you hear the truth, it will set you free. The Bible said the word, that they heard the word in the wilderness, but it was not mixed with faith, and it did not profit them. It fell on deaf ears, and dumb hearts. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. It's not enough to hear the word. And then Jesus said, you can hear the word, but it ain't going to do you any good unless you do something about it. It's not when you hear the word that you are set free. It's when you know the truth. When all of a sudden, down inside of your soul, you hear a still small voice, and you've been wrestling. Your children are messing up. You've been told by the doctor you're sick, and so many things, and you can't do what you used to be able to do. You don't have the solutions. You don't know how it's going to work out. And anxiety is creeping up in your neck, and you're taking more trips to the chiropractor to get them smoothed out. And trouble seems like it's on every side. And then you hear a still, small voice speak out in your soul. It's going to be all right. It's all going to work out for your good. You hear that still, small voice. Trust me. And when the truth is spoken here and not here, when the truth becomes known to your heart in town here. Jeremiah said, I will write my truth and my commandments upon the walls of their hearts. David said, hallelujah, I will hide his word in my heart. I mean, the Bible says even that God wants us to do truth in our inner beings, in the secret place of our heart. When you know the truth, it will change your world.
Yes.
And that brings us to the fifth word. God so loved the world.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And this is the crucial point. If God so loved the world, that means God loves you.
Yeah.
If God so loved the world, that means God loves me.
Yeah.
If God so, but wait a minute, God can't love me. Sorry, friend, you don't get to say who God loves and who He doesn't love. That's His choice and His choice alone. And God doesn't love partially. And God doesn't pick or choose or go through some process of elimination. God loves the world so much. And that world includes you and I. And I know that we've all heard this before. And I know that you have heard this before, but there is a difference between hearing something and coming to accept it as your personal truth and reality. There's a difference between being familiar with a person and an idea and actually embracing that as a personal value that rules over your heart. We live in a day and a time where people want to kick the tires. They want to take things for a test drive. They want to get to know an acquaintance and on a surface level. But nobody wants to really be known.
Amen.
The Old Testament, the Bible says, when a man went into his wife, that he knew her. What does that have to do with anything? Well, I don't know. But the Lord told me to say it, so I'm saying it to you today. Because there's a lot of people running around doing all kinds of things, but they don't know nothing about each other. And there's a lot of Christians running around and doing a lot of things, but they don't know nothing about God. They don't know the truth. They have heard it, they can regurgitate it, but they can't keep it down. It makes their stomach upset and it gets their gizzards boiling. Hallelujah. But God wants you to digest it. He wants it to nourish your body and your soul and your spirit. Five words. God so loved the world. I could have used five of the words. The Lord is my shepherd. There are many other phrases like that in the Bible. Friend, but I'm going to tell you something today. This church is never going to experience, amen, the expanse of God's revival. And you're never going to walk in what God has called you to until you get His truth down on your inward part.
Yes, right.
It's time for some lies to come down. It's time for some accusations to be destroyed. It's time for some truth bombs to be dropped on you. The Lord dropped a truth bomb on me a long, long time ago, nearly 20 years ago. The devil had thrown fiery darts that Brother Philip was talking about at me and accused and lied to me and spoke to me. I was young. I was stupid. I didn't know. Amen. That was when you're praying and something speaks to you and it makes you feel like a loser. Having the voice of God.
Amen.
I'm closing down here in just a few moments. There are things that we have heard and that we have accepted and come to believe they are not truth and they are not from God. And if it makes you feel terrible, and if it makes you feel bad, I'm not saying that God doesn't say things that make us feel bad. But you read the book of Hebrews, it says, even when God disciplines us and corrects us, amen, despise it not, for it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness in those over whom it is exercised. When God brings a hammer down on you, it's going to make you better. When God brings a hammer down on you, you're going to come out. Of that crucible, you're going to come out of that furnace dry in the fire, and the dross stand from your soul.
Amen.
When the devil speaks accusations, lies, and accusations. It'll drag you down and make you want to kill yourself. Somebody needs to hear truth today. God so loved the world. Let's all stand together today. God so not any good. Know the word to describe God's love here. So God loves you so much. It's amazing how much of an impact two letters in the English language can have. God loves you so much that even while you were a sinner, Jesus Christ shed his blood for you.
Amen.
I believe it's even possible, church, for someone to accept their sinfulness and their need for a Savior and even give their hearts to God, but never fully receive or ever fully understand just how deep, just how wide God's love for them truly is. What a terrible thing to live on the doorstep of God's love and never go into the house and enjoy it. If you had five words that describe your feelings and your view of your life as it is right now, what would those five words be? Would those five words make you feel defeated? Would they make you feel as though there were no point in going on? Would those five words make you feel smug, self-righteous, and proud? Would those five words make you feel joy and gratitude? Would they make you feel appreciation for what you have and for the people in your life? If you could choose five words today that would embody the life that you would like to have, then what would they be? And how do these five words strike you today? God, so loved the world. It can change how you feel about yourself. Can change how you feel about other people. Can change how you feel about God. God so loved the world. The darkness that comes across the face of the city. The darkness that comes across a discouraged saint of God. A cloud with a dark lining on it. The banner that waves behind the plane and the train of the devil's lies. God doesn't love you. He throws all kinds of accusations in with it. You're dirty. We're doing the spiritual realm. The Bible said that, the prophet said that he saw the high priest, Yeshua. Amazing how he, and how many times is the word Jesus used in the Bible? You guessed it. Five times. Y'all like, man, we even learned something today. Hallelujah. Joshua, the son of Nun. But I like what the vision of the prophet saw, Yeshua the high priest, and the devil standing to his side and accusing him. And he was dressed in filthy garments, torn and stained and stinking. The Bible said God spoke and he said, I rebuke you, sin. And he said to the angel, take off his dirty garments and put on clean. That's a truth bomb. That's what the truth does. It tears off the dirty garments and puts on clean linen garments on your soul. I want us to bow our heads together right now and talk to Jesus. I want to help you. I want to help you enjoy your life. God wants you to enjoy your life. And what there is of it even left at your age, God wants you to enjoy it. Stop. It's time to stop telling yourself and repeating all the lies of Satan. You're too old to do anything. You're too old now and on. Or you're too young. You can't do anything. Nobody will listen to you. You're too young. And you're in the middle of life. You're too busy. You're too busy. The devil is so full of lies. He's got enough excuses, accusations, and lies to keep you knotted up for the rest of your physical life. But where evil abounds, grace abounds that much more. Where the lie abounds, truth is greater. Lord Jesus, I pray right now in this church. Would you pray with me right now? Would you talk to God? And would you say, God, speak your truth into my frustration right now. Speak your truth into my physical weakness right now. Speak your truth into my confusion right now. Speak, oh God, your word into my doubts and my fears right now. Speak into my anxiety right now. Oh, that we would listen again, right? Oh, that you could open your ears and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Oh, how He loves you as they sing. Would you meditate on these words? Yeah, so good.